I'm Norm Shealy.
NormShealy.com.
You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Hi, this is Eva Herr. Thanks for being with us this week. Tonight I have Dr. Norm Shealy, and we're going to talk about his methods of early detection and prevention to continue on with our six-part series. So thank you, Dr. Norm Shealy, for taking the time out to be with us. And if you would, I know everybody pretty much knows who you are, but tell them about your newest book.
Well, my new, and delighted to be with you, of course, Eva. My new book is called Living Bliss, Major Discoveries Along the Holistic Path. Basically, I'm very excited about it. It's my 30th book, but I think by far my most important. Essentially, I've had excellent treatment for depression and anxiety for many, many years, but it took time and a lot of, you know, stuff involved, using an electrical stimulator, using photostimulation, flashing light, glasses, magnesium lotion, etc. Well, 3 years ago, I had a sudden insight that if I could develop the right mixture of essential oils, I might be able to activate specific acupuncture points without having to use needles. And lo and behold, it worked. I was able to put together a blend of oil, which I now call Air Bliss, which works 80% of people with chronic depression. Now, I don't know anything in the world that comes close to that. The so-called best antidepressant drug is said to work in 42% of people, but it has a 25% complication rate, among other things. And so far, Air Bliss is by far the best that I have discovered. And the interesting thing about it is it works not only for depression and anxiety, but it works equally well for autism and ADHD. And the reason for this is we've now discovered that every known psychological, emotional disorder, everything from ADHD and autism all the way up to schizophrenia, is associated with low levels of oxytocin. Oxytocin is the nurturing, bonding hormone. And there are great reasons why so many people are deficient in it. But the important thing is that at least in 80% of people, stimulating this particular circuit of 13 acupuncture points, and it takes 30 seconds. That's the great stuff about it. The time involved is so minor that anybody who's not willing to spend 30 seconds, well, enjoy your depression.
I totally. So, did you do any lab work? Well, first of all, tell them where we can find this new book, Norm. Are you selling it on your website?
Well,
is it on Amazon?
Of course, it's on my website, but you can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble and other online bookstores. And so, wherever people get it, it's worth it. Actually, Amazon has it about a third off. I can't afford to sell it for a third off. And, at any rate,
and where can you get the oil?
Well, the oils actually are listed on Amazon also, or they can get those directly here. And when they get the oil, it comes with a sketch that shows you where the 13 points are. Now, the even more exciting news is, as you know, I have been working over the last 8 years to rejuvenate telomeres, the tips of our DNA. DNA has, each molecule has four telomeres. They are the part of the DNA that is responsible for reproducing the cells when the cells wear out. And every cell in your body wears out many times during a lifetime. But on average, the telomeres shrink 1% every year of life starting at birth if you have good health habits. They shrink a lot faster if you smoke, if you're overweight, if you don't eat good food, if you don't exercise. So I started using electrical stimulation 8 years ago, and my telomeres began to rejuvenate. And I've got 34 people involved in a long-term study, and we're averaging 3 to 4% growth of the telomeres every year. My telomeres were going along nicely, but last April, I switched to using nothing but the oil. Now, there I'm using not just Air Bliss, but there are five different circuits. And so I'm doing all five of them. And, of course, that takes me 2.5 minutes a day. I tend to do two of them at bedtime and three of them in the morning, so a minute just before I go to bed and a minute and a half when I wake up in the morning. And my telomeres grew another 4.4% in the last year. So my telomeres,
you were doing, you were doing two of them, did you say, twice a day? Tell me, let's repeat that.
No, I do two in the evening, air and earth.
Okay.
And I do fire, water, and crystal in the morning.
Okay.
And my telomeres now are equal to the average 45-year-old man, and I'm 81 years of age.
That's exciting, Norm.
Well, it is, because...
Just to hear it.
Well, you know, the interesting about it, of course, is that telomeres are responsible not only for how long you live, but how healthy you are while getting there. And so, you know, I don't have this great fetish about living as long as I can, as much as I want to be healthy as long as I'm here.
So, did you do some lab work to some black and white stuff to back up how people are feeling so that the people that don't want to believe can see the numbers? Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yes. Oxytocin. Let's talk about why so many people are oxytocin deficient. Oxytocin is, as I said, the bonding or nurturing hormone. If a woman has what I call a traumatic pregnancy, you know, she's fearful, she's worried, agitated all 9 months of being pregnant, she doesn't produce oxytocin during the whole 9 months. And so the baby isn't likely to come in with a good dose of oxytocin, which usually is produced extremely high during the delivery process. But if she's put to sleep for whatever reason, and there is good reason sometimes, necessity put people to sleep, it blocks the big surge of oxytocin during delivery. Or if she's induced, means she's not producing enough oxytocin, they give her artificial oxytocin called Pitocin. All of those situations mean the baby comes in without getting what I call oxytocin grounded. But even if everything was perfect during pregnancy and delivery, in the first 7 years of life, if there is a major trauma, it can be a physical trauma, emotional trauma, spiritual trauma, in the first 7 years of life, that can block the child's ability to make oxytocin forever.
Really?
The interesting thing about it is, oh, yes, and I've worked, as you know, with over 30,268 chronically depressed people. Huge percentage of them have told me they've never been happy anytime in their life. And so, you know, they just don't produce oxytocin. Now, we've measured the oxytocin. It is a blood test, and we've measured the oxytocin before and an hour after stimulating the ring of air with the Air Bliss. And there is a significant increase in oxytocin production when we do it this way. Now, obviously, they have to keep doing it indefinitely in order to restore a system that has been broken for most of their life. But hey, 30 seconds a day?
How long did it take for them to get some result? Some relief. Now,
most
it doesn't have to be full, but something.
Most people within 24 hours. But for, you know, for chronically depressed people, it takes about 2 weeks to get the maximum result. I want to tell you my favorite story. It's a 12-year-old boy with very severe autism. he was so withdrawn that when his parents brought him to me, I could not get within 3 feet of him. I couldn't touch him. But I talked to him and the parents, and he agreed to try it at home. 2 months later, he came in and hugged me. That's the change.
Oh, my God. Makes me want to cry, man.
And I have a veteran who had 10 years of severe post-traumatic stress disorder, nightmares, every night of his life for 10 years. The first night that he used Air Bliss, no nightmare, this month is 2 years, and I hear from him almost every week. He is doing extremely well 2 years after suffering tremendously for 10 years. Interestingly, I also have a small study with just 12 women with remarkable improvement in menopausal symptoms. So all of these things are important. And now we know in the last month it has been demonstrated that muscle mass is dependent upon having adequate oxytocin. As you probably know, most people, starting at age 30 even, have more trouble maintaining muscle mass, and that continues for the rest of their life because they don't have good levels of oxytocin. If you give them oxytocin, they can actually, with a little bit of work then, rebuild muscle mass. So it has many, many benefits on essentially every aspect of the body, including immune function.
So we're going to talk about all the oils, but just while we're at this very point right here, if a person could only, say, afford one bottle, this would be the bottle, the Air Bliss?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. It's the one that's going to have more mood, you know, mood, feeling. It just, hey, it feels good. Basically, it just makes you feel good, okay, relaxed, at peace.
Okay. So tell us, is there anything else that this particular one that you found does? And how did you, is this the one where you tested liver enzymes, or was that another one?
No,
basically
with this one we just tested oxytocin. It's the critical factor for this particular circuit that I call air.
Okay. So which one, a few years ago my daughter called you when she was doing a research paper about you, and you told her about a liver enzyme test where the telomeres lengthened. Which oil was that? Or was that an oil?
No, when I was doing the telomere study at that point, it was still using electrical stimulation, human DNA frequency of 54 to 78 billion cycles per second.
Okay, so what about the next one? Which one would you go to next, Earth? Fire?
I would do fire.
Okay.
And the reason for fire is there's so many diseases for either excess or deficiency in the whole energy of fire. The fire circuit has to do with DHEA, or dehydroepiandrosterone. That is actually the most prominent hormone in the human body, and it goes down also in most people starting at age 30. They begin to lose their ability to handle stress because it is the hormone produced by the adrenal glands to help you combat stress. So the diseases that we found to be remarkably benefited with fire bliss are rheumatoid arthritis. 70% of people with rheumatoid arthritis who have failed conventional medicine do remarkably well with fire bliss. 75% of people with frequent migraine headaches do remarkably well with fire bliss. 80% of people with diabetic neuropathy, that is painful, numb feet from diabetes, 80% of them do remarkably well with fire bliss. It also helps 70% of people with depression, not quite as good as air, but hey, 70% is still darn good, and 70% of people with low back pain. So fire bliss is the one that sort of gives you back your energy, your zest for life.
I'm wondering something, Norm. We had a conversation one time where I told you people that have MTHFR, almost everyone that I've talked to hurt or have at some times in their life hot pain right above each of their buttocks on either side of the spinal cord, exactly where you put this fire bliss. I mean, this
exactly.
Fire oil. So I'm wondering...
Bladder 22.
Sorry?
That's bladder 22.
So I'm wondering if there's some connection with fire bliss and what folate does. You know, it's folate and B12, because there's a connection in the points and connection in the... And the symptoms, they're very similar. You know, people who have MTHFR, they get that neuropathy in their feet, whether it's diabetic or not. You know, that's another issue, but they get neuropathies. And they have pain right there where you put that. So I wonder if it somehow can help that. Do you know? Is it related to B12 or folate at all?
I don't know that aspect of it. Of course, B12 and folic acid are critical nutrients. Interestingly, you know, my mother, after age 76, needed B12 injections, and her mother had to have B12. So 2 weeks ago, I just said, well, I better check my B12 just to be certain. My B12 was like twice the upper limit of normal, so-called. And probably the reason is, for many years, I've been taking two little sublingual tablets of B12 every day. So obviously, I'm absorbing it extremely well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I have another question about that. I know this fire thing works because when I do it, I sweat. But I was also doing pregnenolone and Shatavari. So when I figured that when I started using the fire bliss, I could stop using the Shatavari. And
right.
I didn't sweat anymore. I didn't know that. Nobody knew that. But it proved to me that fire bliss really works, because then I didn't need that other herb or the topical
right.
progesterone. So I thought that was an amazing thing.
That is great.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. Not only does it save me a lot of money every month, but it keeps the fluctuations from changing so much, you know. And my DHEA
exactly.
is slowly coming up. So what about the next
great.
One? Crystal, what is that one?
Well, crystal reduces free radicals. You know, free radicals are part of metabolism. And I have measured free radicals in several thousand people. The average person is really loaded with free radicals. It's a urine test called malondialdehyde. The official lab is oxidata, OXI-DATA. It measures in every urine that you put out, anytime you want to measure it, how many cells essentially have been killed or died because of excess oxygenation since the last time you urinated. The average person is running 3+ to 5+. The ideal is 0 to 1+. And we have now full 1-year studies showing that people who will do crystal bliss every day reduce their free radicals 80% and keep them down for the whole year as long as they do crystal bliss every day. And, of course, free radicals are part of what I call the wrinkling or rusting of the human body because of the damage that they do to many, many tissues, wrinkling, all kinds of degenerative diseases, that kind of thing. So crystal bliss is wonderful. I don't know any supplement that can come close to that. You know, I've worked on this for almost 20 years, and some years ago I found a very concentrated aside, the ACAI berry juice would reduce free radicals 43%, but that's just about half as good as doing the crystal bliss. So that's the big use for crystal, is to reduce free radicals and inflammation.
And the earth oil, what does that one do?
That's an important one. It raises calcitonin. Calcitonin is a hormone produced in the thyroid gland that is responsible for keeping your bone strong. It helps maintain the calcium level in your bones. So it is terrific for treating and reversing osteoporosis. The most common cause of death in the elderly is a fractured hip from osteoporosis. So that's where its greatest benefit is. However, calcitonin also is 40 to 60 times as powerful as morphine in reducing pain. So it is a great adjunct for keeping pain very low. Now, you have to have normal thyroid function for the Earth Bliss to work. So if people have a low thyroid, then they probably need iodine and the Ring of Fire to get the thyroid going, and then the Ring of Earth to get the calcitonin up.
So if it keeps the calcium in your bones, does that mean it also keeps it from going where it doesn't need to go, like in your arteries?
Exactly. It's critically important for that.
Okay. And what go ahead. We have a slight delay, so I'm sorry if I interrupt you.
30 years ago, the pharmacomafia created calcitonin injectable. They modified it out of a salmon. And, you know, it was a good idea to some extent to make calcitonin available. Why didn't they do human DNA? I mean, human calcitonin instead of salmon. At any rate, it is great for pain. It's been used mostly to treat osteoporosis, but also pain. But just in the last couple of months, evidence has come out that people who use the salmon-generated calcitonin have a marked increase in cancer. So basically, at this point, you don't want to take the drug calcitonin because it's not human calcitonin. You want to stimulate your own body to make it.
So in a man, let's say a man is starting to go through his change, his testosterone's falling off, you know, he's having erectile dysfunction or prostate problems, will Ring of Fire help that?
Yes. Ring of Fire is the number one thing. Yes, Ring of Fire is number one because DHEA is intimately associated with ability to make testosterone.
Okay. So of all the things that you know, Norm, I'm going to let you just talk now because we have just a little bit of lag and I feel like I'm interrupting you every time you're going to say something. So I want you just to talk about your work and your studies and your new book, and I'll ask questions when you take a breath.
You mean I have to take a breath? Okay. Well, in the book, I really concentrate not only on these subjects that we've been talking about, but what is it ultimately that is needed? And it turns out it's conscientiousness. Conscientiousness is a basic, significant personality trait. And we've studied it.
Define that for us.
Conscientious means organized, and responsible. There are all kinds of other possibilities, but the two critical things are being well-organized and personally responsible. And a major study was completed in 2000. Well, the report of it came out in 2011. A psychologist from San Diego in 1921 asked teachers to provide him with the names of 1,500 of their best students. And they studied these children for 80 years, even. This is, to my knowledge, the longest controlled scientific study in history. 80 years repeatedly studying. And number one determiner of how long they lived and how healthy they were getting there was conscientious. The more conscientious they are, the longer they live, the healthier they were. Now, all the other factors are still there, you know, weight and exercise and all these other things, but topping it all was conscientiousness. And, of course, it turns out that the reason a lot of people don't have a strong tendency to be responsible and organized is poor self-esteem, and this brings us back to oxytocin. In other words, lack of conscientiousness is truly a lack of oxytocin. So last year, in order to be sure that my important contribution to this whole study continues, and I hope I can influence it for at least a few decades, but I endowed a chair of conscientious psychology at Missouri State University here in Springfield, Missouri. And the purpose for that is to have continued research on how do you take people who aren't conscientious, who don't think good about themselves, and help them become conscientious. Obviously, I have lots of thoughts about how to do it, but it needs ongoing research for the next 80 years, and that's the reason for founding a chair of conscientious psychology. So I know the work will continue, and I'm very excited about that.
Who is that chair?
Of course, I'm sorry?
Was that Dr. Taylor?
No, the chair is not filled yet. They actually have a search committee. They had 16 applicants this spring, but the university turned all of them down as not being strong enough. So they're still looking for the right person, male or female, obviously with a doctorate in psychology, who is interested in working in this field. And as long as I'm alive, I will also be able to help fund some ongoing research that will be done. I also gave them my 11,000 square foot research building in which to do a lot of the research.
Oh, that's wonderful, Norm. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you again. I just had to ask.
Hey, it's
question.
Okay. This is open Saturday, Sunday.
So I also wanted to ask you about, let me find my notes here. Dr. Lewis Terman, his health and longevity project. I thought that was a fascinating thing. Could you talk just a little bit about that?
Right. Well, he is the psychologist who started this project with the 1,500 children in 1921. Interestingly, he died in the mid-50s, and two other teams of psychologists and researchers took over the work and carried it to its conclusion. They actually finished the research about 2001, but it took them another 10 years because of the huge amount of data that they had collected to put it all together. And this then came in a book called The Longevity Project. And people are really interested in knowing, you know, the whole scheme. I strongly recommend they get the book, The Longevity Project. It is a gem.
All right. Did I cut you off again earlier before we talked about that?
No.
I asked about Dr. Eldon Taylor. Okay. So then I wanted to know if you could talk a little bit about when you did all of your interviews. You did a lot of interviews, and you used the MMPI evaluations of chronic pain with chronic pain patients. What did you find from that?
Right, yes. Well, for many, many years, I did an MMPI. What we found is 91% of the people with chronic pain. Chronic pain is pain that has been significant for over 6 months. And my average patient came to me with 5 to 10 years or more of chronic pain. They have elevations on depression always, virtually inevitably highly depressed. They have increased numbers of symptoms, hypochondriasis. They have an increase in the personality trait called hysteria. 75% of chronic pain patients have elevations on those three traits. But in addition to that, another 15% have elevations on other abnormal personality traits like schizoid, narcissism. You know, I mean, they really are highly emotionally disturbed. In fact, of course, the problem is it's difficult to tell somebody you are schizoid, you're depressed, you're hypochondriacal, you're hysterical. And so eventually I converted to use the California personality inventory because it you can discuss with it. There it has dominance and social responsibility and other traits that are much easier to discuss than hysteria and hypochondriasis. But it doesn't matter what you start with. If you wind up being a chronic pain patient, that is severe, moderately incapacitated, unable to carry on your normal functions for months and months or years, it's going to change your personality. No matter what you started with, it's going to make you more disturbed. And yet, I've worked with 30,268 chronically depressed patients, almost all of whom also had chronic depression and pain, and I can get 85% of them rehabilitated. Now, it takes a lot of work. It's not just air bliss or fire bliss. It takes a lot of other work when you're dealing with these more complicated things. Nevertheless, it can be done without drugs.
In a short period of time, relatively, right?
Yes, yes. And because there, you know, I do use a lot of electrical stimulation, especially the one that I call the LISS, L-I-S-S, cranial stimulator. It is a terrific tool for depression and anxiety, and it can help reset the serotonin mechanism. Serotonin is your normal wake-up, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, hey, I'm ready for the day, neurochemical. And that can be restored nicely with the LISS cranial stimulator.
Is that the one with the glasses, that with the lights that flash?
No, the glasses are the Shiele RelaxMate. But they also basically primarily reset the serotonin and the beta endorphin. Beta endorphin is the natural narcotic system. And
I'll have
so
to take,
the
I'm
RelaxMate.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. We have a lag, so I think you're done, and I blurred out. I'm sorry. I was going to say,
no problem.
I love that thing, Norm. I've had a problem sleeping ever since my last child was born, and he's 14 now. And I've actually take sleeping pills a lot because I can't fall asleep. I mean, I just take one a night, but I've taken them for many years. When I use those glasses, without fail, every single time, I set it for the shorter time, I don't know if it's 15 or 20 minutes, I'm asleep before they stop flashing. It's the best thing I've ever had.
Well, that's, I'm so glad. I do like it, of course, myself. Now, I began working on this back in the mid-70s, and it is a great adjunct, both for relaxation, but also for sleep.
Well, I'm such a skeptic, but it works every single time I fall asleep, and I really struggle with my sleep. Anyway, I also realized that I didn't allow you to finish talking about Earth, and we didn't talk about water. I'm sorry.
Well, Earth actually is, again, primarily, well, there's another thing I need to talk about with combinations of some of the rings.
Okay.
Earth is particularly good when done with crystal for neurologic disorders like multiple sclerosis or Parkinsonism. I've had some really good results in Parkinsonism using the combination of earth and crystal. And with autism, if air alone does not work, I would also add earth. So, you know, sometimes a combination can work. Water actually normalizes an adrenal hormone called aldosterone. Aldosterone is the hormone that primarily controls the concentration of water in your blood as well as helps with potassium. And so the use of the water bliss is primarily for people who have swelling, edema, like congestive heart failure, swollen legs, that kind of thing. On the other hand, when combined with fire, fire plus water, then it's a great adjunct for losing weight. People lose a half pound a week just by using water and fire less. Nice, simple, and safe.
Is it fat weight loss or water weight loss?
No, it is actually fat weight loss.
Really? That's amazing.
I call it boiling the fat. I think of it as boiling the fat by heating it up and then adding the water to it.
So tell us about some of the, you know me, I'm interested in the science. Can you tell us, we've got about 15 minutes, can you tell us a little bit about some of your experiments that you've done, the lab work for the numbers, the facts about these oils?
Well, I always look for what can I prove, not just clinical, because obviously clinical is subjective, mood and that sort of thing. Although they're very good psychometric tests, you still want, to me, I want blood chemistries whenever possible. And so whenever possible, I do a blood test. Some people use salivary measurements, but the great godfather of psychoneuroimmunology, George Solomon, does not like salivary measurements of any of these hormones. So I did all with the blood. And I do it, you know, at very good quality labs. For instance, DHEA cannot be measured in most labs accurately. The only really good lab for that is Nichols, N-I-C-H-O-L-S, in Capistrano, California. They are by far the premium lab if you want to measure your free DHEA. And it's important to think about DHEA is also bound frequently and off a great deal of it to a sulfur molecule. But DHEA sulfate is not a very reliable test because it's not easily available. It's just like when you measure a testosterone level in men, it doesn't matter what the total testosterone is. It's the free testosterone that's really important. And if the testosterone is bound to a protein, it's not available to be used. Well, the same is true for DHEA. So DHEA sulfate is not a good test. DHEA free, or just plain DHEA, is the test. And Nichols in Capistrano, California, is the only lab I trust for doing that. Just as the only lab that I trust for the telomeres is one called Repeat Diagnostics in Vancouver. There is a lab in the United States, and there's one in Spain that also measures telomeres. And I can tell you, it's not worth the time, blood, or money to do it at any lab other than Repeat Diagnostics. I have no financial investment in either Repeat Diagnostics or in Nichols in Capistrano, California. They just are the best labs for measuring these particular tests. Now, progesterone, there's only one lab, and it's in North Carolina. It's the only lab that actually does the blood test at the moment. I was able, in some of my earlier studies, to get a research lab at the university to do it, because they can, you know, they have very specialized equipment and can do it. But commercially, there's only one lab in North Carolina to do natural progesterone cream, blood levels.
What is the name of that?
I knew you were going to ask that, and you know something? I always have to look it up. Let me see if I can find it while we're talking here. I always put in blood.
Is it Smoky Mountain Lab?
No, it's not that. Great Smokies is, no, they don't do progesterone. It's, Progesterone, North Carolina. Shelby, North Carolina. Here we go.
Excellent.
Shelby, North Carolina is the lab place. And it is called Personal Labs.
Okay, gotcha.
In Shelby, North Carolina. And it's the only one worth using.
So you talk about if you could to get the best picture of your health, and you have to limit, you have limited resources, there are five tests that you like. What are they and why?
Well, of course, number one is DHEA, plain DHEA. And again, Nichols Lab, because it gives you what I call your stress reserves. It is infinitely better than almost all others. Actually, in order of importance beyond that, I would get a test called ADMA, asymmetric dimethyl arginine. It is an abnormal metabolite of the amino acid arginine. And there's only a couple of labs that do that. Genova, G-E-N-O-V-A, is the one that I use. And it, as a single test, will give you more information of how much at risk you are for dying prematurely if your ADMA is high. In fact, I'm doing a study right now. One of my most exciting studies is on diabetic neuropathy. So I'm talking about people who have total loss of touch, pain, and vibratory sense in their feet. We are getting 75% recovery with 8 treatments of a pulsed electromagnetic frequency. It's a new kind of therapy we're applying. And I won't know until, probably end of August. We're also measuring ADMA because ADMA is the test, even more important than DHEA, in telling you how risky your life is, if you will, if you've got an elevated ADMA. If I can lower ADMA with this approach of using pulse electromagnetic frequency, well, all I can say is the cardiac surgeons are not going to like me, because I think we can reverse coronary artery disease. But I won't know that for another.
That's the MTA. I'm looking at this right now. This is the reason people have problems with MTHFR. You can't take arginine because then those viruses express and their nerve sheaths get eat away. So you should know I'm going to ask this question. What machine are you using to do that? I'm dying to know that. Are you using that?
Well,
one of your tens? Could that be used if somebody has one of
your tens? Well, no, we're using a new. Actually, it's a research tool at this point. It's a coil that puts out pulsed electromagnetic frequency in the megahertz range, and it's not on the market yet. But I think if our research proves to be as effective as I think it is, because we already know that it remarkably improves diabetic neuropathy, if it also markedly reduces ADMA, then I'm positive they're going to get it on the market as fast as they can, because it has remarkable potential.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, for reducing coronary artery disease. And cancer and a whole bunch of diseases, because all of them are associated with elevated ADMA.
How is it different from the TENS? I mean, not the TENS. That you know.
Well, the TENS is something you apply locally.
Not that one. The Shealy Pain Pro.
Well, even the Shealy TENS. Even the Shealy TENS is still a local application of electrodes with the pulsed electromagnetic frequency. Actually, a coil about 2.5 feet in diameter. And so it beams at the patient. You put it a few inches away from the body. And interestingly, it increases the circulation locally. For instance, in the feet, when you apply it to the feet, the temperature in the feet, even in these people with diabetic neuropathy where circulation is very poor, will go up anywhere from 3 to 11 degrees. I put it on the back of my chest, and the temperature in the front of my chest went up 6 degrees, which means the heart is actually putting out a huge amount of, circulation. It's dilating the blood vessels and allowing the blood to flow much more freely. So that can wash out the plaque or the deposits in the blood vessel. That's one of the reasons I'm so excited about this particular project.
What's the expected?
Well, if this pans out, it'll be even more important than the oils.
what's the expected completion date of this research?
Well, the research will be completed in mid-August, and it takes 2 weeks to get the blood test, so it'll be August 31st. I should have the final test.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. And what are those things going to cost? Do you have any idea?
It's a $200 test. ADMA is a $200 test.
A machine.
It is a moderately expensive test. However, it's not widely done. You know, when I was looking for a test that would tell me what's happening in the heart, I called a cardiologist and said, I don't want to do an invasive test where I have to inject things into the bloodstream and take x-rays and all that kind of stuff. He didn't even know about this test. But I found 1,860-some-odd scientific articles about ADMA, and that's how I got involved in adding it to the particular project that we're doing right now with diabetic neuropathy.
So is this thing, the machine that you're using, is it a small portable thing or is it some big thing? How will people be able to get one?
It's an office machine. It is not something for home use. It is an office machine. But, you know, it takes 45 minutes once a week. And believe me, it's safe. I would be perfectly happy treating a one-year-old with it. That's how safe I think it is.
Can I, you know me also, Norm, I love frequency stuff. So can I ask, can you just even give me a range the frequencies are in? How'd you find the frequency?
A range for what?
The frequencies that it's doing.
Well, all I know is it's in the mega, which means thousands of cycles. And actually, I did not develop the coil. A friend of mine in California did, and I'm doing the research on it.
Oh.
So I don't have... He hasn't given me all the details.
That's it. This is exciting. This is amazing.
Well, it is. I mean, to me, I mean, if I can do what I think I can, I mean, this is the most exciting test I've ever done.
Absolutely. This is exciting. Because with this MTHFR thing that's going on, and you know, we have an epidemic. Some people say 60 to 70% of the people have it, which means you have that elevated cholesterol, that elevated homocysteine, the, you know, all of those problems. That could wipe out an epidemic. Pharmaceutical companies
exactly.
Don't like that, I bet you, though.
Oh, yes.
You're just amazing. All right, you got 5 minutes. Anything you want to talk about? I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off.
Here's what I really like to talk about is why it's so important to like yourself. You know, not because you're better than anyone else, not because you're anything except taking care of yourself. Your number one responsibility, in my opinion, is to take care of yourself so that you're not a drag on other people. And so if you do not feel I am okay, remember, God does not create junk. You are responsible for creating junk in your life. And therefore, my great advice is take care of yourself. Read my book, Living Bliss, Nature's Curves Along the Holistic Path. Use the tools that are there. If you still have trouble, get my old book, my previous bestseller, way back from 1977, 90 Days to Self-Health. It's still available. It gives you the self-regulation approaches, mental exercises you can do to retrain your nervous system. By far, the single most important thing you can do is plan to take care of yourself. Now, we haven't talked about the basics for good health, and the basics for good health are still there. They are essential. Number one, no smoking. Number two, a body mass index between 18 and 24. If you are above that, which two-thirds of all Americans are, you have a straight line increase in the risk of every known disease, including early death. Number three, eating 5 or more servings of fruits and vegetables every day of your life. The average American eats 2.2. And finally, exercise, moderate physical exercise. You don't have to be a weightlifter. You don't have to be running marathon. You can stand in place and just bounce. You go to YouTube and look up Bouncing with Dr. Sheely. but you need 30 minutes of exercise, a minimum of 5 days a week. Now, the really sad news is that only 3% of Americans have all four of those habits. That means that 97% of Americans have 1 to 4 unhealthy habits, and therefore they are just not taking care of themselves adequately. If everybody in this country suddenly adopted those four habits, no smoking, body mass index 18 to 24, 5 or more servings of roots and vegetables a day, exercise 30 minutes, 5 days a week, within 25 years, average life expectancy would go from 78 to 100. We could increase life expectancy 22 years with marked increase now.
Where can people find you?
NormSheely.com, NormSheely.com.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you, and happy 4th of July.
Thank you, Norm. You're amazing. Good night.